Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Judges. Turn to the book of Judges. Before we start into the lesson, though, we're going to do something unusual this morning. We're going to sing a song together. We're going to sing the first verse of Victory in Jesus. Here we go.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groanings, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
That's what our lesson is about this morning, victory in Jesus. Last week we looked at that verse and looked at them verses over there in the book of Romans, chapter 8, how we were more than conquerors. More than conquerors. We're not this little run-of-the-mill conqueror. We're more than a conqueror. Hey, we're not just a winner. We're more than a winner. And we looked at what it is. It makes us more than a conqueror. Hey, we did not only conquer. We could not help but conquer. There's nothing. Hey, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Now, we looked at several things about being more than a conqueror and why we were. And I'm going to go over those right quickly. Number one, we're more than a conqueror because there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing to condemn you. Not only that, but Romans 8, 9, because we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's one of the reasons why we are more than a conqueror. Third reason, Romans 8, 14, because we are led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you follow yourself, you're going to land in the ditch. I hate these. You see these bumper stickers and placards where they put, God is my co-pilot. If He's your co-pilot, you're in trouble, amen? You're sitting in the wrong seat. God is our pilot. He's in charge. The Holy Spirit, we are led of the Spirit of God. Not only are we more than conquerors because we are led of the Spirit of God, but because we are the children of God, as Romans 8, 15, 16, and 21, we are the children of God. Now, I was born a child of Adam in 1956. And I was born a child of God in 1984. Praise God. Amen. Hey, not only are we more than conquerors because we're the children of God, but because the Spirit prays for us. And we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit, He prays. He prays for us, and Jesus hears that prayer, and being our high priest, He always gets His prayers answered. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit says, now this is what they ask for, but this is what they need. You know what I mean? That's the way it works. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but we do the best we can. We pray with our understanding. The Bible says, pray with our understanding, but pray with the Spirit also. In other words, we pray, not my will, but mine be done. God, You know what's right. You know what I need. I don't, but I'm depending on You to take what's in my heart. Now, we're to learn how court A in his time. Not only that, the Spirit pray for us, and Jesus Christ carries those things before his Father as our high priest. He said, Father, this is what my body needs. And God said, you got it, boy. Every time. Be sure of that. We're more than a conqueror because the Spirit prays for us. Not only are we more than a conqueror because the Spirit prays for us, but we're more than a conqueror because God is for us. I quoted that verse just a minute ago. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who's going to put him in? Look, he put this thing together by the word of his mouth. He just spoke it into existence. All power is his. You say, well, I mean, how about atomic power? All power is his. How about the power of the devil? All power is his. How about the powers of hell? All powers are his. It all belongs to him. You say, why is there so much bad stuff going in the world? Well, that's what a lot of people want. You know? It happens because of what we sow. You got problems in your life, a lot of it is because that's what you sow. You sow problems into your life. I sow stuff into my life sometimes. I say, boy, you're stupid. Wake up. Don't do that no more. Don't you know the consequences? Lose your temper. Go off on somebody. Or come up. Next thing you know, somebody be going off on you, you know? Hey, I'm telling you. Hey. All power, it belongs to him. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And finally, we are more than conquerors because we cannot be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. See, we're more than a conqueror because Christ is in us and we are in him. And we are made a child of God. We are made the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christ in this world. Our head's in heaven. His body's on this earth doing his work. And we need to remember that each and every day. Hey, we got to be yielded. Hey, you know, I tell you what. I'm glad that my hand has to do what I want. I hate for it, you know, every now and then want to slap me upside the head. You know? You wouldn't want to be like that, or your foot trying to kick you. Huh? The other foot. I don't like your foot. That's what we do sometimes. Huh? Get out of the saddle. You know what I mean? Get out of the stirrup, try to do what we want to do, rather than what God would have us to do. Next thing you know, we're stomping on our own foot. Huh? When we're not good to the brethren. Huh? We're not treating each other right. I mean, hey, sticking yourself, you know, looks like three stooges running right here, you know? Stab each other in the eyes, you know. That's stupid. But that's, you know, that's people. And that's the reason why we got to be yielded to the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God. And you are, by the way. You are. But you can fight it and cause problems. And, you know, my body gives me problems sometimes. My mind gives me problems sometimes, you know. And sometimes Jesus' body gives him some problems. But he's going to straighten it out, amen. But we are more than conquerors. But not only that, I said we sang that song, and the word, the key word is in. In. Jesus is the victor. And there's no victory for us if we're not in. Amen. If we're not in Christ. There's no victory. There's no victory in this world. There's no victory in the flesh. There's no victory, you know, in Adam. Only death. Praise God. We are in Christ and there is victory in Jesus. I want you to look in the book of Judges over here. And we know then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon. And we all know the story of Gideon, you know, buddy. Breaking them jars, you know. Yeah.
What chapter?
Oh, I thought I told you. Chapter 7. Judges chapter 7.
We tried to read you, man.
All right. You can't read what ain't there.
No comment.
Oh, comment all you want. I said it. Hey.
Join the crowd.
Yeah. that were with him rose up early, pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Hallelujah. If I'm going out to fight, buddy, I want as many people with me as I can get, you know? But that ain't the way God fights no battle. And you're not going to win with the multitude. You're not going to win by, you know, by the majority. One in God is the majority. He said, there are too many, lest the people say, hey, all right, man, we did it, boy. We put a whipping on them Midianites, didn't we? Well, their number was as the Bible put it out like it's the sand of the sea. There were so many of it's going to be hard to count them. I mean, they were just a flood of them out there. They was tens of thousands. It wasn't 20,000. It wasn't 30,000. There were tens of thousands and thousands. I mean, it could very easily have been 400,000 or 500,000 kept down there in that valley. There was a bunch of them. They had come up in a great host of these Midianites. And then it says right here, now therefore go proclaim. And so we know that 20,000, 22,000, and there remained 10,000. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people in the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. They were going out there to like it. He said, that's the one. Now you take them, and there was only 300. And the rest of them got down on their knees. That's the way I use it. When I use them to drink with branch, I don't do that no more. I'm scared. I don't drink with branch anymore. You don't know what's running in that thing. But when I was a boy, we did. So he sent back the rest, and 300 went with them. And then the Lord said, lest the people, you know, think that they got. Now, look here. There's 300 of you. You're up there on this hill. God tells them what to do. They're to get this jar of clay, put a lamp in it, you know, and they got a trumpet in their hand, and that's what you're going to whip them with. This ain't nothing but a sword. I think they had a sword on their side, but, you know, that ain't what's going to give you the victory. The sword in your hand, on your side, is not going to get you the victory. What's going to give you the victory is what? The Lord. It's the Lord. He said, now here's what you'll do. You'll get up on this hill, and they get up there, and he said, and boy, and when I give the signal, everybody's to break the jars of clay, and the light's going to shine forth, amen? They're going to blow the trumpet, and they're going to shout out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And when they did, hey, everybody down on the bottom went crazy and started killing each other. That's exactly what happened. God Almighty put it within them. He did it. He destroyed them by simply speaking the word into them. What it is. And the thing I want you to see, that the victory, all the way through the Bible, I looked up the word victory. If you know, you go get your concordance and go look through it, and you look at that word victory, and you know what you're going to find? Not one time is it by man. The victory for God's people always comes through God. Not one time. Victory is in Jesus. You know what? This world thinks they won some battles in times past. Nations have won battles. nations have won, quote, quote, war. But, hey, there's a final war, which is death. Amen? There ain't but one that can give that victory. It's the same one that defeated death and rose again from the dead. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this now. Getting this, I just want you to get that little story in your mind. Hey, God wanted him to realize, hey, this victory has not got nothing to do with you. I'm giving you the victory. This victory is of the Lord. It's victory in Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Samuel, chapter 19. Samuel, chapter 19. What's that? Yeah. Excuse me. 2 Samuel, chapter 19. 2 Samuel, chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 2, 19 verses 2. It was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourning for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. We know the story, how Absalom rebelled against his own father. We know how David had told him not to lay their hands on Absalom, but to bring him back to him. We know how Job disobeyed David and killed him. And now you find this victory, and you find the king mourning. You know, God has gotten us, has given us the victory. How many of us are walking around with long tongues? I mean, long faces. How many of us are walking around, you know what I mean? After God has given us the victory, he's given it to us, and we're walking around all downhearted. Trouble, broke down. Huh? Worried about things. Every time the stock market was so crazy, gas starts going up. You know? Start worrying about everything. You either got the victory, you don't. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to prove to us that this victory is in Christ. Huh? We've got the victory. It ain't that we're going to get the victory. We got the victory. And victory is not to be found, it's not in this world. It's on the other side. But it's been given to us. We're going through. Amen? You say, well, what if war breaks out here and they kill me and my family? Well, if they do, you still got the victory. Huh? What are you saying? What are you talking about? You still got the victory. We're not home yet. This isn't home. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. Amen. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. This ain't home. We're here to do one thing. Get more people to go with us. That's what it's about. It's not about laying up down here. It's not about getting your will down here. You're to be little Jesuses. You understand what I'm saying? We're to be little Jesus Christ. What did he come in this world to do? Seek and save that which was lost. That's why he's here. Going about doing good, seeking and to save that which was lost. And then the church has done, here's what they've done. They said, you know, we kind of, you know, what we want is a good godly country where we can come and live in peace and prosperity and enjoy, you know, all the stuff that God gives in this world. And you want to make heaven down here, but it ain't. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Jesus told us. Do you believe him? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. He said, well, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you're an overcomer through him. I'm afraid some of us are what we're doing, we're basing whether we're a victor or overcomer on our purses. How well is my pocketbook? How well is my bank statement look? How happy am I? How much pleasure am I getting to enjoy? How much time do I get to go fishing or golfing or whatever it is? You know, I take pleasure in this world. That's what victory is to a lot of Christians today, I'm afraid. Victory is not being willing to take up the mantle and suffer for the Lord, that we might reach others for Christ. It's about enjoying the things that God gives us. And then what happens is we become addicted to the blessings of God, and rather than working to be a blessing to God. Really bugged me back when 9/11 and all these people said, God bless America. God bless America. Everybody was saying, God bless America. Had all these signs saying, God bless America. God has been good to all of us. Over and over. But I want to ask you this. When's the last time America blessed God? God did plenty that we have, should be happy. And I like these signs I've been saying. Thank you, Jesus. It's about time somebody started realizing we ought to be thankful to Jesus. When are you thankful? When everything's going good? My next door neighbor, where I moved up there, named Elijah, he just had some serious back surgery. And, of course, he can't walk down without a walker just a little bit. He can get around just a little bit. But he's hoping to get better, but they more or less say he ain't going to get better. And but he wants to, and he's trying to. But you know what he said yesterday? I told him, I went over and mowed his grass, and he said, how wish I could pay you for it. I said, look, you get well enough, you come to church with me, I'd be paying enough. He said, I'm planning on it. He said, you know what? He said, God worked in me. He wasn't complaining a bit about his back. He was turning around and thanking God for what he was doing in his life. When suffering starts turning us back to God and helping us to be thankful for what we are in Christ, rather than complaining about how things ain't going our way, then we're heading in the right direction. But when we're like the children of Israel coming out, and God's taking them out of slavery and feeding them with manna, and they start complaining like, I'm tired of this manna. I'm tired, you know, not thankful, just full of complaint, grumbling. Yeah, well, let me go on. But we know, said right here, that his victory was turned to mourning. He was grumbling. Yeah, I understand. His son had died. And it hurt his heart. If Absalom had his way, he'd have killed them all. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. That's really what I'm saying. If you're going to get the victory, it's because you're in Jesus, because everything's his. Amen? And the victory belongs to him. He's going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's defeated already. They just don't know. This world just don't know it yet. But it's already defeated. It's coming apart. It's coming down. It's going down. Your old flesh don't know it yet. But it's already whipped. But it don't know it, does it? It still wants its way. It screams at you all the time. Well, we were talking out here, and I can't remember what we was talking about. And I said, I still want a cigar every now and then. I said, I'm just going to be honest. I mean, I love the taste of a good cigar. My flesh loves it. You know what I'm saying? Every now and then. But I said, it don't get it. I said, I ain't going to give it to it. Said, well, I think my flesh won't. I'm not going to give it to him. And my flesh don't realize it yet, but it's already defeated. It's already, it's dead. Amen. It's dead. All it's doing is rotting away. One of these days, I'm going to get a new body. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to get that new glorified body that will take this mind and this spirit and going to be put in it. And I won't want anything that the flesh wants ever again.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. Used to be a little song that used to be sung by, I can't remember now, a little bluegrass tune. But, boy, at the end of the song, come down and says, no more sin. I mean, that's what he was looking forward to. No more sin. No more sin in these. I'm going to get rid of this body of sin. Praise God. I'm going to put on a new glorified body wherein dwelleth nothing but righteousness. You'll think right. I mean, you ever, I don't know. Maybe I'm, the guy at my work tells me I'm weird. That's okay. And he said it's okay. He said, that means you're not trying to be like everybody else. I may be a little bit weird, but, you know, every now and then I get to thinking, I say, one of these days, the things that I want to do, really want to do, for the first time, will be able to do all my heart and strength. And all the things that I hate that I do, I'm not even going to want to do them anymore. It's going to be gone, taken away. And then I get excited about that. That's my greatest desire. Because sometimes I'm like Paul. I end up doing the things that I hate and not doing the things that I want to do. Praise God. He got the victory. All victory, majesty belongs to God. Look in Psalms 98. Psalms chapter 98. I'm just going to read the whole psalm. Oh, sing in the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, rejoice, sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, and with a harp the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. That the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, and let the hills be joyful together. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the world and the people with equity. And you know something? I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you how weird I am. I believe that song. Every part of it. I believe there's going to come a day that used to be a song I love to hear. Did the earth sing? Did the ground rejoice to feel you again? It talks about how the grass when Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. Jesus Christ died not only to redeem our souls, he redeemed this earth.
Amen.
He put it in charge of us, and we turned it over to the devil. Jesus Christ overcomes the works of the devil. And one of these days, the earth will be what God made it to be again. Amen. And the Bible said all of creation right now is groaning. It's out there. You know what it's doing? It's saying, I'm so sick of the blood being poured into me. You remember that, right? When Cain slew Abel, he said, and the ground cried out, his blood cried up out of the ground, and the ground said, I'm so sick of all this blood. I'm so sick of this sin. And all creation now sings in a minor key. You know that? That's a fact. And you know what that is? Every now and then, old bird would get up in the morning though, and don't say, sun just come up, he's out there. Seems happy. And dust comes along. Dark to me. Dark here in the morning. One of these days, darkness is going to be gone. I'm just simply saying, boy, I'm telling you, the Lord hath gotten us the victory. Praise His. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 25. Isaiah 25, verses 8. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast, fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. The Lord's gotten the victory. That's that last enemy, which is death. Oh, we got some battles in this world. Death still... still real, isn't it? Physical death is still real. We lost a church member this past week. This elder. We missed. Praise God, there's a resurrection day. We will be reunited. He has gotten the victory, and He'll wipe away all tears. You look over in 1 Corinthians, over in Corinthians where it says, and this is we will read that minute. And this is what this verse is talking about right here. There's coming a day when this is going to take place. And God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Look also in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 20. Again, reason. This is the account of Matthew, the scripture that was given to him about our Lord and Savior. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him and healed them all, and charged him that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I shall put my spirit upon him. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Hey. Judgment's coming. Notice what he said. He said, this will not, he will not strive, he will not cry, he will not, he will, he don't resist them. Remember? They took him. He didn't fight. He was a lamb before his shears dumb. He opened not his mouth. But he's coming back in judgment. Guess what? He's going to fight in that day. He didn't come when he came the first time to fight. He came to save. But all those who will not hear him, when he comes back, he's coming to fight. Judgment. Hey, judgment. It come down. It come down as righteousness from heaven. Lord
way to the flood. Amen. Judgment. Righteousness to the flood. You want to find some? You want to find righteousness in the world? You got to look at Jesus. He's the only righteous one. Righteousness laid to the flood. Come down from heaven. Judgment to the last. Any of you got any carpenter skills, you know what I'm talking about. The only way to build a house, you got to start with the flood. Lay that flood. And judgment's going to be laid to the line. It's coming. Amen? And that's when victory, when we'll have that final victory, when he comes and lays judgment to the line. Look at also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then shall come to pass, when this takes place, when this judgment comes, then Acts 15, I mean, not Acts, 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, that we read in Isaiah, death is swallowed up in victory. When? When does that take place? It's right here. Brother Joe talked this well in here, over and over again. When? When the Lord returns for his church. Then becomes the day of the Lord. And judgment is upon this earth. When Jesus Christ comes for his church, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the only way victory can come is through him. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When does that victory take place for us? When the Lord Jesus Christ returns for his church, and we will overcome that last enemy, which is death. Then shall come the saying, that saying shall come to pass, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. They're going to give them up. The graves are going to give up the dead. They're going to be raised incorruptible. They're going to be raised, I like that, incorruptible. That means it can't be corrupted. Amen. Again, no more corruption. There's corruption in your bodies now. That's why we get sick. Well, you stick a splinter in there, and a day later, man, you got a big old pus bump there. If you can't get it out, then you mash it, and pus comes out, and you can get the splinter out. How many ever have that done that? You know what I'm talking about. There's corruption in us. Death. Hey, we got white blood cells every day. They die. They're your old yellow pus. It comes out in our urine is green or yellow. Happens all the time. We got corruption in us. One of these days, praise God, everything we eat, everything we drink, ain't going to be no waste. No corruption. Huh? Incorruptible, immortal. No end to these bodies at that time. We'll have a body that'll be immortal. It cannot die. Praise the Lord for that. Not only that, there will be no hurt, no pain, no death. Hey, no sorrow. That's coming. But this victory is only in Christ Jesus. I'm running out of time, but I want to turn over the book of 1 John, and I want to read you something that I like it when God does things. I got up yesterday morning, and
got up yet, and it's a word. It's really word. We're just looking at verses, seeing that victory is in Christ right now. Or, you know, right into the lesson. This is just kind of leading up to it. But I just want you to see that every time you find victory, it's in who? It's in the Lord. When we get over in this next one, we're going to see what all is contained in this victory for us as believers. But I was having my devotions the other morning. I've been reading Morning by Morning. It's a devotional by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I had a thing for years, and I just started. But in the book of 1 John, I want you to look in chapters 4. Now, I want you to look all the way down here. I'm going to begin reading. Verse 12. It says, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him." We're in God. We're in Christ. And he in us. Because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Friends, you know, if we love not, we don't know God.
It's hard to sing it for funerals.
And if you don't know God, you cannot love, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. People have got things they call love in this world, but it's not really love, because love is of God. Everything else is just infatuation or a fondness that it has to do with the fact that these things please us. True love doesn't have anything to do with being pleased, because God loved us when we were yet sinners. And true love does not love your friends, it loves your enemies. But with this in mind, I want you to look down here. We believe that God, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Here is our love made perfect, and we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, listen to this, as he is, so are we in this world. God hath given us this victory. We're going to look at this next week, but I want you to think about this. What he just said was, as he was in this world, you will be in this world. Lord, as he behaved himself in this world, we're to be in this world. Heavenly Father, I am glad that